Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on the Sunday which celebrates the Transfiguration of the Lord. I'm Barbara Little, and here with me is Father James Stemmler, the Vicar General of our diocese. Bishop Mulvey was unable to be with us this morning. So today we're going to hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Matthew and read the Word of Life for August. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
What is a spiritual exercises retreat? Beginning on a Thursday at 4:30 p.m. through Sunday at 1:30 p.m., you can find out by experiencing His voice in prayer as you pray with Scripture, according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. The place for these spiritual exercises retreats is Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana, in the shadow of the Blue Dome, near Interstate 37 and North Padre Island Drive. Men's and women's retreats alternate each month. To find a weekend date that fits your schedule, visit deepprayer.org or call 361-289-9095.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Father Stemmler, and welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Thank you. Well, we appreciate you being here this morning. So in my introduction, I mentioned that today is the Transfiguration, and our Gospel is from St. Matthew, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to His Word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise, and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's been many, many, many years since the Transfiguration has fallen on a Sunday. So, Father, what is the message of the Transfiguration?
Well, I think with all gospel readings, there's many messages that come through. However, for me, I think the interesting thing about the Transfiguration is, I think we need to understand the setting first. By tradition, the Transfiguration took place on Mount Tabor. And if you go to Israel today, you go up a certain distance on the Mount Tabor, and then you get into these buses that take you up this winding and winding and winding road to the top. It can be a bit of a white-knuckle trip up, mm-hmm. up the side of the mountain. It's quite interesting.
And, don't look down.
Right. And then when you get up there, it's so peaceful. It's just so beautiful. And you go to the edge, and you see out over the plain, and it's just very beautiful, and it's a wonderful place. And so when Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, I'm sure they're walking up the mountain. It was a bit of a hike. So when they get up there, it's just so peaceful. And then all of a sudden, they see this beautiful Jesus transfigured before them, Moses and Elijah there, all white, everything's light, and so forth. So it's very interesting, and it's understandable that Peter would say, Lord, it is good that we are here, and he wants to go on a building campaign because he wants to build three little buildings so that they can stay there, they can see this, they can just make it a Kodak moment, so to speak. But it's interesting how the story unfolds, particularly as Matthew writes this story, because everything is very fast. The voice from the cloud says, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." They fall prostrate. Jesus says, "Rise, do not be afraid." All of a sudden, it's just Jesus, and they're going down the mountain. It's very fast. And I think what we're being told here is that we need to understand that as disciples, we're engaged in discipleship for a purpose, for a reason. We're not just doing that because it's nice to do or it gives comfort to people or so forth, but there is a purpose and a goal in all that we're doing as disciples, and that's heading us to the glory of eternal life. And I think that's what the disciples are seeing in all of this. They're being given a foreshadowing of what's going to happen, particularly where this gospel, this passage comes in before the events of the Passion. Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. So they're being given a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. And because of that glimpse, they are being given the courage they need to continue in their role as disciples and learning from Jesus so that life that he is giving them is something that becomes more and more a part of who they are.
When you were talking about how Peter wanted to build the three buildings, that would have been, so to speak, a little too easy to just stay up there and reflect they needed to come back down the mountain.
Oh, sure. Haven't we experienced that? I mean, you go on vacation, it's like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to the regular world or whatever we call it.
Reality.
I want it. Well, yeah, but vacation's reality too. Huh?
That's true too.
But we want to stay on vacation. We just want to stay put. I think we've all experienced this is a peaceful place. We want to stay here. Well, but life goes on. We need those peaceful moments, but I think we also need to understand that we're called to continue to move forward. I mean, even Jesus in the garden agonized over what's going to take place in the Passion. But I mean, he understands, not my will, but your will be done, Father. I mean, we've been given a mission, we've been given a call through our baptism, and we need to keep at it. We can't rest in our easy chair for a while. I mean, it continues. We need those moments of peace or whatever, vacation, getting away. We need that for our own benefit, but we need to always remember that we're called to continue as disciples and continue to take up the mission of spreading the gospel message. But we're doing that because we know the goal, eternal life. We understand that, hopefully. We understand that, and that gives us what we need to be able to continue to move forward. We're getting a glimpse of what it's going to be like then so that I know how to live my life now and how to let discipleship unfold and grow within me.
What do you think was, Jesus said to them at the very end, do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. I would think if I saw something like that that was so beautiful, I'd want to get down to the mountain and talk about it so quickly, in essence saying, this is what it will be like, or this is what it could be like.
I think we fully understand Jesus if we take in the events of the Passion, the death, and the resurrection. I mean, we really don't know a person. I mean, you read biographies. We really don't know a person until we have their whole life story. I mean, I can take a chapter, if you will, and say, oh, well, he or she is like this. But I don't know the whole story until their whole life has been lived. I think the same thing is true here. I mean, people could say, well, I heard Jesus here, I heard the Sermon on the Mount, whatever. I saw him do a few healings, so I know who he is. Well, we really fully understand, I think, Jesus once we have entered into the events of the Passion, death, and resurrection. And then putting it all together, we have a clear understanding of who Jesus is. So I think that's why he's saying it here. Don't tell them this, because those events haven't happened yet. You have to put all of it into perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense. Mm. Well, it's a beautiful message for us today, and how nice that it did fall on a Sunday.
Right,
so that
right.
we could hear the message and discuss it.
It's also important, I think, it was on this date, I can't remember the year, that Pope Paul VI died. And I believe I'm correct when I say that that year it was on a Sunday, the Transfiguration was on a Sunday, I think. Don't hold me to that, but I think I'm correct there. So I think that's a very interesting thing. Pope Paul VI, of course, was Pope during the time at the conclusion of the Second Vatican Council and beginning to get that out. So mm-hmm. so I think it's good to remember that, I think.
That's a wonderful visual. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful visual. You know, as I was preparing for this Sunday, in the Magnificat, it talks about saying that, it says, as we peer into the glory that pours from every pore of the transfigured Christ, we cast off everything unworthy of our personal relationship with the infinite, and we take on the luster of the Son of God. Jesus gazes back at us with a luminous look of love that makes us desire to live his transparent beauty, to be luminaries.
Right. Well, and with Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, Jesus is bringing the law and the prophets together into a beautiful message,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The message of God.
That's right. So that's something, it's like God is saying, become what you behold.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful message.
Oh, it is. It is.
Well, thank you, Father. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to read and discuss the Word of Life for August. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The Catholic Church offers classes to help couples enter their new relationship with eyes wide open. But sometimes marriages turn sideways. And for those couples, there are marriage encounter weekends designed to help right the ship. But for marriages in serious trouble, there's Retrovi, a lifeline to couples whose marriage may be drowning and headed for separation or divorce. Husbands and wives can rediscover why they fell in love in the first place. Since 1977, tens of thousands of couples have successfully overcome their problems and kept from becoming another broken home statistic. The next Retrovi weekend begins Friday, September 22nd, here in Corpus Christi. To learn more or register right now, visit helpourmarriage.com or call 1-800-470-2230.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this being the first Sunday in August, we have a new word of life for August, and this time it's a psalm. And the psalm is, "The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made." And that's 145, verse 9.
This psalm is a hymn of glory that celebrates the kingly nature of the Lord who governs the whole of history. He is eternal and majestic, yet he expresses himself in justice and goodness, more like the closeness of a father than the power of ruler. God is the focus of this hymn, which reveals his tenderness, superabundant like a mother's. He is merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, great in love, good to all. The goodness of God was shown to the people of Israel, but it extends over all that his hands have made, over each person and all of creation. At the end of the psalm, the author invites all living beings to make this hymn their own, thus adding a harmonious chorus of voices to his own proclamation. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. God himself entrusted creation to the hands of men and women as if it were like an open book in which his goodness is written. We are called to cooperate with the Creator's work, adding pages that speak of justice and peace, acting according to his plan of love. Unfortunately, however, what we actually see around us are the many wounds inflicted upon people, often the defenseless, and upon the natural environment. This happens because of many people's indifference and the selfishness and greed of those who exploit the great wealth of the environment purely for their own ends and at the expense of the common good. In recent years, the Christian community has developed a new awareness and sensitivity in its respect for creation. In this context, we can recall the many appeals of church leaders encouraging us to rediscover nature as the mirror of divine goodness and the heritage of all humankind. In his message for the Day of Prayer for the Protection of the Environment on September 1 last year, Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew of Constantinople said, "We need to have constant vigilance, information, and education in order to understand clearly the relationship between today's ecological crisis and our human passions, which result in and lead to the current crisis that we face. Therefore, the only way out of this impasse is our return to the original beauty of frugality and asceticism, which can guide us toward a wiser management of the natural environment. In fact, the voracious need to satisfy our material needs assuredly causes spiritual poverty, which in turn culminates in the destruction of the environment." And in his encyclical, Laudato Si, Pope Francis wrote, "Care for nature is part of a lifestyle which includes the capacity for living together and communion. Jesus reminded us that we have God as our common Father and that this makes us brothers and sisters. Fraternal love can only be gratuitous. This same gratuitousness inspires us to love and accept the wind, the sun, and the clouds, even though we cannot control them. We must regain the conviction that we need one another, that we have a shared responsibility for others and the world, and that being good and decent are worth it. Let's take advantage of time we have off work, or all our chances during the day, to lift our gaze to the depths of the sky, the majesty of the mountaintops, and the vastness of the oceans, or even just to see a tiny blade of grass sprouting by the roadside. This will help us to recognize the Creator's greatness, the one who is a lover of life, and to find hope again in his infinite goodness which surrounds all things and accompanies them. Let's choose a modest style of life for ourselves and for our families, a lifestyle that respects the demands of the environment and is in keeping with the needs of others. Let's share the goods of the earth and of our work with the poorest of our brothers and sisters. And let's give witness to the fullness of life and joy by becoming bearers of tenderness, kindness, and reconciliation to the world around us.
You know, this is, Bishop has been reading The Word of Life for probably about 4 years, I think, 3 or 4 years. Kiara Lubick, and then other people are the writers, and this was a different writer this time. But I can say that this is the first time we've had a Word of Life that really talks about nature and how the Creator and taking care of our environment. And it's so apropos that there's the quote here with Pope Francis, because he talks about the environment so much. And I think, and we're surrounded by beauty being here in Corpus Christi, but we just need to remember not to ever take it for granted.
Well, I mean, the quote from the Psalm 145, "The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made." All creation is gift. You and I are gift, but all the creation is gift. And it just seems to me that what we're being reminded of is the fact that since God has compassion over all that he has made, we in turn have to see that all of this is gift, accept it as such, and as with any gift, treat it appropriately. I mean, you know, you didn't get a football for Christmas and you bounce it around like a basketball. You respect the fact that it's a football and you throw it a certain way. I think in the same manner, I think creation is something that we're called to respect because it is God's gift to us. I mean, I'm sure many of us have been somewhere. I mean, we once, when I was a young boy, we used to take road trips in the summer for 2 weeks. And once we went up to Wyoming, Montana, up Idaho, up in that area. And one morning we were just, we had found a lodge to stay in, and we were just, you know, having breakfast or something. We were getting up, and then all of us, the whole family, we just, all of a sudden just said, "Isn't this spectacular?" Of course, some of that was because in the Dallas area it was rather flat, and it was nice to see mountains. But I think a lot of it, too, was just how beautiful, and just to take it in, how beautiful it is. I've heard people who have gone to the Grand Canyon for the first time, they just, you know, "This is spectacular," and it is. It's spectacular, and how beautiful this is. We just need to, you know, take that time to be able to enjoy the gift of what is around us in nature, and to respect nature because of the gift that it is. You know, I can think of many places. I mean, Captain King, wasn't he just taken by the beauty of the South Texas?
And,
yes. And you know, he just started from there. But you know, just taken in by the beauty. I mean, and I've heard people, like you mentioned earlier, I've heard people who have come to Corpus Christi, particularly when they're out on Padre Island, and they just, you know, the beach and everything is just very beautiful. And I think creation is something we should marvel in, because it's created totally out of love, and it is totally a gift. We're called in Genesis to you know, watch over it, and
caretakers,
and be caretakers of it. And I think, you know, maybe we're being reminded that we need to take care of this creation that God has given to us and that we are a part of, and all created out of love.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, talking about taking care of it, I take walks along the bayfront. It's near my house, and I'm amazed at people that leave their bags of food or their empty water bottles, you know, around when there's a trash can nearby. And I think of that about being a caretaker for the nature. Here's gorgeous nature, and here's the stork that's waiting to get its food, and there's somebody who didn't want to take care of it and leaves their trash. And I think, and as I read this, that's part of what I see the call to make sure that we're being good disciples of the environment.
On another thought, let's look at the first chapter of Genesis, the story of creation, and this is taken from the Good News translation of the scriptures. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. God brings order out of chaos, let there be light. God was pleased with what he saw. That's how it reads in this translation. And then the second day, God was pleased with what he saw. Then on the third day, after he creates plants, God was pleased with what he saw. And then, you know, every day, at the end of each day, God was pleased with what he saw. So God is very much compassionate about everything that he has created. And as we are created in his image and likeness, it seems to me that we too are compassionate about this gift called creation, and that we are pleased with what we see. Yes, progress goes on and things are built and all of this, that's very true. But by the same token, always with that deeper understanding that we are pleased with what God has given us, and we respect that as we continue to grow as a people here on earth. I just think that's something that we need to reflect on, perhaps.
And that's beautiful, bringing that reading from Genesis, because we, unless you're reading it all the time, we only hear it during the Easter Vigil when it comes back to us. And so the words of God was pleased with what he saw. That's beautiful. Well, thank you, Father.
Okay.
If you could just wrap up our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
O God, who in the glorious transfiguration of your only begotten Son confirmed the mysteries of faith by the witness of the fathers and wonderfully prefigured our full adoption to sonship, grant, we pray, to your servants that, listening to the voice of your beloved Son, we may merit to become co-heirs with him, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father Stemmler, for being with us this morning, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.